You're listening to the Agony Column News Report, featuring interviews, phone interviews, reports from live book events and festivals, and conversations with readers. You can find additional news, interviews, book reviews, and more 5 days a week at the Agony Column website at trashotron.com/agony. I'm speaking with Tim Pratt, also known as T.A. Pratt. Thank you for joining me. Tim, your stories were remarkably beautiful and really emotionally resonant. Tell me about using the metaphors of the fantastic to get to the beauties of family life.
that's an easy question. Okay. To write another story about being in a hospital and having your wife give birth to a kid, I couldn't really find a way to make that interesting to me because it was, apart, you know, after the miracle of birth, which is pretty miraculous, it was profoundly boring. You sit around and nurses come in and bother you and you can't get any sleep because there's a cot. And I wanted to think, you know, about larger things about children. And I was thinking about, you know, just the big mythic stuff in your life, the huge rites of passage and the great life-altering things. You know, there's births, there's marriages, there's death. Those are sort of the big ones. So with that kind of mythic structure in mind, I thought it would be fun to try and write about the experiences I was having in a way that would try to resonate a little more largely. Because as an individual experience, sure, we had our own story and my wife has her birth story and all that, but it's not that hugely different from a lot of other people's birth stories. So I wanted to write something that would be sort of unique and individual and at the same time try to reach down to that kind of deep well of myth and vast shared human experience and all that stuff. And, you know, our kid's name was River, so it was an obvious pun to want to exploit.
Doing so while you're waiting for the birth to happen seems like a really inspired method and inspiring as well to other people, that kind of shared universal experience.
It was after the birth, so my wife was trying to sleep. She would have been annoyed if I had nipped out during labor. Honestly, a lot of people told me, oh, after you have a kid, you're fucked. Probably can't say that. You're in trouble. You'll never be able to write again. It's going to be the end of your career. The kid will keep you up all night. There'll be no productivity. So I thought, let's try and break that curse immediately. You know, let's write a story as soon as the kid is born, and then I'll be over any psychological hurdle at the very least. And if it proves inspirational to other people, that's great. But really, I just had this uncomfortable cot, so I just couldn't sleep.
One of the things that I think was really powerful about that story was indeed the metaphor you chose, the river and the name. Do you spend a lot of time around the water? You live in the Bay Area. There's plenty of water around here.
Yeah, actually, I'm a big fan of running water. I'm a big fan of fountains. I grew up sort of in eastern North Carolina where there wasn't a ton of water except for, you know, muddy rivers and the occasional swimming hole. But actually, my wife and I just moved to an apartment over by Lake Merritt, which has a lake view from the balcony. It's really lovely. Every day, I go out and drive around the lake on my commute. I go out and take walks around the lake, sit on my balcony and look at the lake. It's very restful. It really is.
You and your wife are both writers, and that's an unusual creative partnership. And could you talk about some of the tensions and some of the ecstasies that you can actually talk about that you experienced as being two people who worked on the same career and maybe have some competition issues?
Competition is sort of rare. Occasionally, Heather will say, there's this anthology I'm submitting a story to. Are you submitting something to it? And I'll say, I probably don't really have anything. And she'll say, good, I don't want to be competing with you. For the most part, though, we're just really supportive of each other. The nice thing about being married to a writer is she understands when I'm sitting in a dark room that I'm working or when I'm taking a walk that I'm working. And she's very understanding, you know, if I need to go on a trip or do a workshop. And the other great thing is, you know, a lot of couples where one person's a writer, one will travel a lot, go to conventions. My wife and I go together. Just about every big convention that I attend, she goes with me. We occasionally do workshops separately, especially now that we have a kid. I imagine we'll be doing workshops separately, so somebody will stay home and babysit. But, you know, by and large, it's more ecstasy than tension, I have to say.
As a working writer, you have to go to a lot of different places and ways to get your income. Could you talk a little bit about just the logistics of healthcare and all that other stuff? I mean, having a baby is not a cheap experience.
Well, my wife and I both have day jobs. I'm a senior editor at Locus, and my wife is a book buyer, copywriter for an erotica company in San Francisco, so she writes copy. I write editorial content, so we both kind of get to do the writer thing at our day jobs too, and that's where we get our health insurance. And otherwise, you just kind of sort of scrounge money. You know, I do fiction writing, I do some freelance reviews, I actually review porn movies, and do a column about sex stuff online that is a gig I got through my wife's company. They hired me to do some outside writing for them. So, you know, being a professional writer, making any money, trying to make a living at it, you have to be willing to do unusual things.
As somebody who writes beautifully well-crafted artistic fiction, talk about writing sex writing.
Well, the fun thing about doing the porn reviews is most porn is really schlock, so you can just be snarky and insult it and make fun of it and make bad scatological jokes. And, you know, that's they don't seem to mind as long as it's funny. It's a lot like writing a blog entry or something. You can have a very casual voice. And, you know, if you're feeling uninspired, you just insult details of the production. Every once in a while, you see something that actually aspires to Eros, something that seems to be beyond mere pornography. And those are nice moments. You know, you have occasionally you write a good review. But for the most part, I've been doing this for 72 weeks now, I think. I just turned in invoice 172. So two reviews a week. You know, I've seen it all at this point, I gotta say. I like to tell people that my 16-year-old self would have really, really been proud of me. But watching two porn movies a week, even for a healthy man in his early 30s, it's sort of like when you work at the ice cream store. After a while, you get real sick of eating ice cream.
We've been talking with Tim Pratt. Tell Tim, thank you very much.
Thanks, I appreciate it, Rick.
You're listening to the Agony Column News Report, featuring interviews, phone interviews, reports from live book events and festivals, and conversations with readers. You can find additional news, interviews, book reviews, and more 5 days a week at the Agony Column website at trashotron.com/agony.